Kenya attack victims had big plans for life. By Christopher Torcia. Mourners recall their relatives and friends killed in the attack in Garissa, Kenya. He was a soccer player with a fighting spirit, a talented keyboard player with golden fingers who was intent on succeeding in life, his guardian said. But Bryson Makurara, a 21-year-old student at Garissa University College in Kenya, never had the chance to make his dream happen. Makurara was among 148 people who were killed in an attack by Islamic militants Thursday on the college in Garissa, near the border with Somalia, where the Al-Shabaab extremist group is based. On Monday, relatives of the dead converged on a funeral parlor in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, for the grim task of identifying the dead. Some grieved quietly, while others emerged from viewing bodies of lost family members in physical distress, wailing as Red Cross officials escorted and even carried them to tents for counseling. Several mourners interviewed by the Associated Press outside the Chirino funeral parlor at the University of Nairobi spoke wistfully of those they lost, sometimes using the same words, humble, devout, studious, and a role model, to describe youths who were trying hard to forge a career, leaving home and traveling many hours by bus to Garissa to take advantage of the educational opportunities there. I knew Bryson as a young man who grew up in the church and performed in its choir, said his guardian, Clifton. The young man's death hit hard in Taita Taveta, the coastal county where he grew up. It was a big blow for the people of Taita Taveta because we don't have enough people studying in university, said the guardian, who also coached the youth in soccer. They can't believe that Bryson is no more. Makalawa, who was studying education, was a stoic who rarely revealed whether he was happy or sad, hungry or thirsty. Four gunmen died in Thursday's attack after security forces entered the campus to stop the slaughter of the students. Survivors said the gunmen targeted Christians and said they would spare Muslims and women, though there were numerous accounts of indiscriminate shooting. Virginia Simianu, who was 24 years old when she died in the attack, was a long-distance runner on her high school team, a leader of the Christian group at the Garissa College, who was born to be nice, said her aunt Phyllis Wabuk. Simianu, a student of human resource management, was also a role model to her three younger siblings and promised her mother that she would help lift her family out of poverty once she got a job. "Mama, I'll build you a house," she quoted Simumu as telling her mother. According to Wabuk, Simumu's mother had hopes for her oldest child, saying, "If this one makes it, my life will be different." Now, Simuyu's mother is broken down with grief and is not in a state of mind that would recognize anything now, Wabuki said. The mother is sometimes tied down with ropes to control her hysteria and is being counseled by professional helpers. Another 21-year-old victim, Romana Chelgat Sambu, was studying commerce at the Garissa College and had a vision of finishing her education, said her uncle, David Tomo Nejit. She was focused, could endure hardship, and was good at talking to people about responsibility and the Christian faith, he said. The last time Nejit saw his niece was several months ago in Nairobi, before she headed to Garissa to resume her studies. He recalled that his wife noticed his niece was wearing nice sandals and asked her to bring back a pair on her return from Garissa. Despite periodic shrieks from weeping, collapsing family members, the scene outside the funeral home was relatively calm as people waited their turn to enter the building or sat quietly outside on plastic chairs. "If there is anybody amongst us who has not gone through the identification, kindly come," a voice said over a loudspeaker. The pungent smell of the bodies wafted in the breeze around the building, and some people wore surgical masks to ward off the odor. A sign in the building said, "Body reception, embalming laboratory, cold storage room." Machofi last saw Bryson, the young pianist with golden fingers, at Christmas. The guardian recalled, "He promised that he would succeed, that he would do anything possible to succeed in life."